right, Payne and Pendergast. Seth, you're getting agreement from our texting audience on your take going back a couple segments ago when I played the audio from Lopez that if the 1986 Astros, that they were one play away in the NLCS from probably winning the World Series. I took great umbrage with Lopez's definition of probably. It was part of a broader argument about the golden era of sports in Houston being 1975 through 2000 as opposed to the current day stuff. And you said that, well, Houston was a tighter community, a smaller community back
then. Yeah, it was like a third the size that it is now, which I think means a lot more geographically than it does in terms of actual population. It's a, you know, there was a time when the memorial area out there was a suburb, you know, like where it was a more geographically close-knit community. Yep. It was easier to get around and it was smaller. There was the 2.5 million people as opposed to 7 million people or so right now. So I think it just, it felt more like, as one of the texters said, it felt more like a town than a city.
Yeah, 100% correct, Seth. This is the text. We were a town back then, not a city. Another texter, Seth, exactly right. It felt more like a citywide community back then. Houston in the 60s through the 80s was gold, all caps. We had Hakeem Olajuwon and Earl Campbell. That is true. Like the thing I said to you during the break about that, and again, I moved here in 94, so I feel like I got here after sort of, I know it was still inside the bracket of what Lopez was talking about.
Yeah.
But I feel like what you're talking about is really like a 70s and 80s and 60s, 70s, 80s phenomenon. You know, the dome got built, all, you know, the summit, all those other things. I think it's probably symptomatic of stuff, not just in Houston, but a lot of cities where the acceleration of growth of all of our regular people incomes is far below this explosion in the incomes of the athletes. And it's created this chasm, social chasm between the two castes of people to where you don't see athletes at the grocery store or at the gas station for the most part, like you did in your neighborhoods and places back then.
I don't
know.
Yeah, well, I guess you probably don't see them in they're kind of concentrated in specific neighborhoods. I think people in Pearland and everything do, but or you know, out in Sugarland do.
But a lot of them just don't. But to the point about neighborhoods, like a lot of them used to live in the same neighborhoods as people.
You're talking about the most famous athletes, though. Yeah, right. Like there's plenty of athletes that are out and about people, but when it comes to the superstars, they're definitely, it's definitely more of a separation. And well, no, even just remember that. The documentary about the 93 Oilers, Kevin Gilbride is getting out into his truck and it's like a beat up old Nissan compact pickup truck. Yeah. You know, it was the money was so much different. Yeah. And a lot of the guys who weren't the superstars, especially, they were making good money, but it wasn't, you know, rich folks' money.
No.
So it was, I think everything was a little bit more relatable and it was a smaller. It was a smaller town, and it just felt more like it. When everything about when people tell me stories about the 70s and 80s, it feels like if you're watching Anchorman, it feels like that. Like it just like whatever, however they portray Anchorman in the 70s, that's what it felt like in the sports side of things, where there was kind of a wild side to it too, and not to mention, in football, you're running the run and shoot. It's just you're running this kind of innovative, breaking all the boundaries, testing all the limits type of vibe to things. And it just felt maybe like freer and looser in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
It felt a little bit almost like the stereotype of Texas. Of just kind of like, we're just going to do it loud and we're going to do it big and screw you if you don't like the way we're doing it.
Right. And our coach comes in and swings the saloon doors open and he's sitting there right there with us. Talking about the game afterward. There was just more connected, I think, probably. All right, so the folks on NFL.com, they've got 29 experts voting on who's going to win the various divisions around the NFL. Week one is here. We got our kickoff game on Thursday night. I'm sure that's a game you can hear on Sports Radio 610 between the Cowboys and the Eagles. By the way, you can hear tonight's TCU-North Carolina game right here on Sports Radio 610 as well. You Horn Frogs out there, you Belichick fans, if you're out and about, you need to get the game on the radio. We'll have it for you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. How lopsided a favorite are the Texans in the AFC South, according to the experts at NFL.com? Pretty damn lopsided. The Texans, who are a plus one plus 105 favorite. So they're about a coin flip to win the division. It's basically the Texans and versus everybody else. 23 of the 29 votes go to the Houston Texans, Seth. The other votes, 5 to the Jaguars, and then 1 for the Tennessee Titans. I think it's interesting in that there are 0 votes for the Indianapolis Colts among the
I don't know. It's not like I'm bullish on the Colts or anything, but I feel like Daniel Jones has made people ignore the entire rest of the roster. And if you look at Daniel Jones, the one solid year he had in the NFL was in 2022. That also happened to be the year that Saquon Barkley rushed for 1,300 plus yards and had his best effort. So I feel like just pairing Daniel Jones with Jonathan Taylor and then having a good offensive line, the Colts still do have a very good offensive line. And then you add Tyler Warren to the mix and as well as their receivers. I think it's a good environment to get the absolute best out of Daniel Jones, which probably isn't all that great. But we also saw Gardner Minshew have perhaps his best performance under Shane Steichen a couple years ago. So I think their defense underperformed last year. They bring in Lou Anarumo this year, so the new defensive coordinator. I think there's a chance that the Colts end up being a respectable football team. And maybe I'm a little bit biased just because I saw them slug it out with the Texans last year. And we perhaps saw the better version of them. Well, Anthony Richardson is playing. And Anthony Richardson, not a good NFL quarterback. So I think that I just feel like the Colts, between the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Titans, for me, the Colts are by far a more complete football team. And then I look at the quarterbacks. Cam Ward's a huge X factor. I think Cam Ward might end up being great. Maybe he doesn't end up being great. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to be any different than how many different coaches and offensive coordinators are going to do this with Trevor Lawrence before they finally realize, okay, maybe the coaches aren't the issue. Maybe it's just a Trevor Lawrence thing.
Yeah, maybe. And yet, still, I feel like the biggest threat to the Texans is if Liam Cohen figures out how to unlock something in Trevor Lawrence. Like, Trevor Lawrence has done it. It wasn't for very long. It was for the tail end of 2022 when the Titans completely collapsed and the Jaguars won. I don't know. They won a bunch of games at the end of the year to make the playoffs. And then the Jags were 8-3 to start the next season, but it wasn't because Trevor Lawrence was great. The defense was actually pretty good that year. So that's my biggest fear, is that Liam Cohen figures something out offensively for the Jags. And I think the fact that that's my biggest fear illustrates how big the gap is between the Texans and the other three teams.
With Trevor Lawrence, this is where I'm skeptical of just how much Liam Cohen can do with Trevor Lawrence. I think just as it was with Tebow, after a while, you watch him, and Trevor Lawrence is much more gifted as a passer than Tim Tebow was.
No doubt.
But you watch him long enough and you realize, oh, he's just not that smart. You know, somebody's going to come in and somehow make him smarter, I guess. But the guys that have had success with Trevor Lawrence have been able to kind of, Doug Peterson was able to massage the fact that he's a first read quarterback and give him a bunch of easy options early on. And then you can have limited success, but after a while, defenses catch on to it. And now you got a career's worth of work already out of Trevor Lawrence, or multiple years worth of work, where defenses just know he's a first read guy. You just take away what his first read, and he's kind of lost out there.
Dude.
So I don't know if Liam Cohen's going to be the magical guy that somehow gives him 20 extra football IQ points.
Okay, so Trevor Lawrence, his cap hit actually is not drastic. His cap hit this year is only $17 million, then $24 million, then $35 million, and then $47 million in his dead cap hit, if they were to move on from him, that's the big thing, is $133 million. If they moved on after this season, the dead cap hit would be $88.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
The dead cap hit 2 years from now is a more manageable $44 million. Now, we watched the Denver Broncos manage an $85 million cap hit with Russell Wilson. They're back in the playoffs, but they got their rookie quarterback right. I'm bringing this up because, man, if he is what you're talking about, unsalvageable, if Liam Cohen can't manage around the fact that he's a first-read quarterback who's not very smart, the Jags are in hell. I mean, the magnificent Gladstone is going to have to do some serious magic to work his way around 9-figure and high 8-figure cap hits if Trevor Lawrence isn't the guy. in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, too. Like, when they paid him, this isn't something like when they paid – I think when they paid Russell Wilson, people were like, okay, that's a lot for Russell Wilson. But he hadn't flunked out the way he did when he was with the Broncos. Like, Trevor Lawrence, them signing him to that contract, I think most people are like, what are you doing? Like, give him another year at least to see if he figures
it out. That's where there was some anonymous executive that had a quote in an article in The Athletic where he said just the people are paying guys just to pay them now with quarterbacks. Oh, yeah. And because it gets to the point where it feels like, okay, I guess this is what we do. Right. We don't want our quarterback to be unhappy. I feel like if the guys, if you've gotten to that point and you're not ready to pay him yet and you're afraid of him being unhappy, then he's probably not the guy. You know, that okay, a little bit of contentiousness or a little bit of drama, whatever. If the guy's a competitor and he's built to be a franchise quarterback, he'll understand why you're not paying him yet. And he'll have a chip on his shoulder to try to prove it. I don't get why teams are, I mean, I get it to a certain degree, but just caving and just thinking like, well, we absolutely have to pay this guy because, oh no, he might not be happy if you're not convinced that he's the guy already.
Are you at all concerned about the Texans after year three with C.J. Stroud being in that territory?
No, because I think C.J.'s already demonstrated that he's able to function at a higher level mentally, and that's the biggest thing you're trying to figure out by year three is, all right, does this guy actually have the gray matter to be a true NFL quarterback? Yep. And I think CJ's already demonstrated that. A lot of what he needs now are just, A, obviously better support around him, but B, just reps and time. And last year, I think, taught it. It's judgment more so than it is football IQ. And that's something that sometimes just comes with age. It just you got to get knocked around a little bit to refine your judgment. But like the football IQ side of it, I don't worry about it at all.
No, I don't either. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, Micah Parsons trade report cards. How are the experts grading the Packers? How are they grading Cowboys when it comes to the Micah Parsons trade? We got that coming up next.